Accession number 27237, Dr. Robert Navarsky, Reel 3. We're talking about when you'd report, well, you'd escaped from internment and reported to the Polish consulate at Cernauti.
Cernauti.
In Romania.
Yes.
This is in November 1939.
Yes.
Now, so you get a friendly reception at the consulate.
Oh, yes. And he told us that he would give us a bit of money, and then we would then have to go to Bucharest and then report to the Polish embassy in Bucharest, and they would take care of us from there, the four of us. And when he gave us, I think, I'm not quite certain, but I think he gave us about a couple of hundred, 200 leis for our journey, for the four of us. So I said, well, how come? He said, 200 leis, we haven't got any other Romanian money. You see, the ticket is about 60 leis or 70 leis to Romania, to Bucharest from there. He said, you don't buy tickets here. You see, you go to the station, you give 5 leis to the chap that lets you into the station, onto the train. Then on the train, you give your ticket conductor, you give him 20 leis each. And then when you get out there at Bucharest, you gave the bloke to let you out another 5 leis. So he said, for 30 leis, you're going to get yourself to Bucharest. And you still have to have 20 leis left, you see. And that's indeed how it was.
So these were bribes?
Absolutely. I don't think anybody ever bought any tickets there, you see. He said that was the official way of traveling in Romania at that time. I don't expect it's like that now, but that's why it was. It was really quite bizarre, really, you see. So we just laughed, you see. So. And when we came, we went to, and they exactly like that. That's how it happened. They went to the Polish embassy in Bucharest, and then they took care of it. They gave us some money and an address to where to go to for our lodgings, and they said they would arrange the papers for us to go to France. And as it was only 10 days or a fortnight afterwards, you see, it was all.
Now, what did you do in the 10 days?
Just nothing very much. You just went sort of, I suppose you could call it sightseeing, you see. There was not even much to see in those days, you see, in Bucharest. And there was that. There was no, just waited for the papers to come. And then eventually they came. And with the railway tickets and all that, and a bit of money we had given to us. And we went on the train. And the train went quite slowly, actually, through Yugoslavia and then Italy and off to France. Italy, you see, was not at war at that time yet.
Now, what was the train journey like? Just a normal?
Oh, just an ordinary, quite a comfortable sort of train, except for it went quite slowly, you see, as it seemed to have stopped on every other station and in between stations. But otherwise, it's by proper ride, yes, oh yes. Until we came to France, you see, as it crossed the frontier there in the French Alps at Modane, was the crossing actually, and I remember we all stood up and sang the Marseillaise. You see, there was no, we made it. That's we made it. And then my friends went to Ketkida, which I'm not quite certain where it was, but I think that was in Normandy. Well, I went to Lyon, and that was the receiving station for would-be Air Force personnel.
Now, is this the Polish?
Yes. That was yes, yes.
So you were joining the Polish Air Force at Lyon?
At Lyon, yes. Well, that was this of the reception area for all the ex Air Force people and sort of aspiring sort of pilots like me, you see.
Now that would still be November, the end of November.
That would have been
roughly.
Yes, that
or
would
is
have
it
been
into December.
No, it would have been end of November, beginning of December, or thereabouts. Yes.
Now,
yes,
what
yes.
What sort of reception did you get when you turned up at Lyon?
At Lyon, well, there were a lot of Poles there already. You see, that was Lyon Bron. That was actually an aerodrome. Just as, do you know that area? It's east of Lyon, actually. East of Lyon, the actual aerodrome. Not that far from Satala aerodrome. There's quite a.
So what did they do? I mean.
Well, they issued us with you had your. Well, with your identity, French identity papers, you were given the rank of Soldat dixième class, you see, and you had your Russian, not your Russian, I think about, you had your accommodation there, you see,
Now, were you in the Polish squadron of the French Air Force, or
at that time, formation that they were forming the Polish Air Force in France, you see. But we had French ranks there because we were paid by French. And at the time, say, like myself, I was the lowest of the low. So it was like a sort of private second or third class, you see.
Now, what were the conditions of service like?
Oh, it's all right. You lived in barracks, you see, and it was bloody cold, I remember, because it was a very, very cold winter that winter, actually. The 1939-1940 winter in France was very cold. I remember there were ice floes on the on Rhone. I don't think they've ever seen ice floes on Rhone since, or it was really quite very, very cold. Actually.
And what was the food like?
Well, the food was very ordinary French food. The food was very good. You were just like as if you were in the French army. You were treated the same. You see, you had your rations. You had your food, and your accommodation. You see, there's no and your uniform. All you should do is just like. It's perfectly very acceptable. Yes. I remember to this day the actual pay was 50 centimes a day. I remember that. And also the 10 cigarettes, 10 troops they were called. Gauloise is the usual sort of French cigarette, you see. But the troops were about half the. They're about half the thickness of it. They're really like a sort of junior edition of Gauloise. You have 10 of those a day, and 50 centimes a day. And you also had wine with your, half a liter of wine with your meal. And if you didn't like wine, you could have water. That was that.
You had wine.
Oh, I had wine, yes. That actually introduced me to wine. It was a mark about that size. Perhaps slightly larger.
A fairly large mug. Then.
Oh, yeah, large mug. Yes, yeah. And you had your entitlement. You see, was half a liter. You see,
now, how did this start your training? One thing it seems you had to do ordinary drill.
Oh yes, you had to do ordinary drill anyway. You see, there's
you
that.
Hadn't done much drill before. How did you?
No,
take
have
the
no.
Drill?
No, well, you do. It's not like any youngster. You just do what you're told. You see, or if you are a private or something.
Did you understand the point of drill at that age?
Not really. No. But I remember I had to do it. there was nothing, nothing. It's no, it wasn't any good rebelling against it. There, so no, you just wanted to get on with. You knew that at one stage you'd be going to a flying school or whatever, which we did, in fact. But
and you did guard duties as well.
Yeah. Well, everybody had to do guard duty. You see, you were sort of for one night or thereabouts.
Were you guarding the barracks or the airfield or what? Or local installations? What were you guarding?
Well, I expect that was the airport. That was yes. So you were just on the guard. And I suppose the guards were stationed at different parts of the aerodrome, really.
Now you seem to have done quite a bit of back to lectures. On aviation.
Oh, yes. We're doing data, you see.
Tell me about the lectures. What kind of level were they compared to what you've done already?
There were actually lectures about aviation law, and I suppose about aircraft, how the controls worked, you see, and the engines, and generally, sort of what an aspiring pilot would have to learn before he started playing with the aeroplanes, you see, really, with the aeroplanes proper, you see. There. So it was more or less a sort of preparatory sort of thing. And, of course, we had to do French, you see, as well.
You were learning French?
Well, I knew French by that time quite a bit, you see. So it was because from my secondary sort of thing, you see, my main language, foreign language, was French, you see. There. It was a bit of a bonus, you see, there.
Now, how did you get on with the French?
Perfectly right. There's no.
Are they friendly? The civilians,
they're friendly, all right, yes. It was only very much later on, you see, when France actually collapsed, when you then realized, you see, that it was all really a charade. What they were saying, you see, and for instance, they sent us to. They sent about 20 of us.
Hang on. Now you also were there at Christmas, and you've got a bit of
Christmas.
You
yes,
got
yes.
You got homesick. Tell us about that, because that's quite sad.
It was the Christmas. You see, I mean, every Christmas before, I would spend with my family, with my father and mother and my brother and my sister. You see, and we usually went to my grandparents. In the mountains, you see, no.